So hi, this is Jackie with Panama Relocation Tours. Thank you so much for calling in today for our weekly conference call where I'm interviewing someone that lives here in Panama. Today I'm really honored to have Bob Adams as my guest speaker. I started communicating with Bob probably about 12 years ago before I ever moved to Panama, just through email. I was communicating back and forth and asking questions. I also followed his website called retirementwave.com, which has some really good articles and good information about Panama and the demographics and the economy here. So I started looking up to Bob long before I ever even got here, and we've continued to stay in touch since then. So Bob, welcome to the call today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be with you.
So I'd like to kind of start out with when did you move to Panama, and why did you pick Panama out of all the places in the world?
Well, I should probably begin by explaining that I've spent most of my life working overseas in a variety of different countries, about 45 of them, sometimes for as long as 2 years, sometimes only as a consultant for 2 or 3 weeks, but all over the place. And dozens of countries. So as a result, I have an ability. When I get into a country, it doesn't take me long to figure out whether I'm comfortable there or not, and so on. I hadn't realized it was going to be quite so quick as it was with Panama. But when I got here, just to take a look, within 48 hours, I made up my mind this was the place. So there's so many reasons for me to be interested in it. But above all, what I wanted to be in was a country that was actually growing, developing. I spent my whole life trying to help countries, the poorer countries, developing countries all over the world to improve their economies and to really grow. And I wanted to spend my latter years in a country where they were doing it and where it was successful. And that is precisely what's happened in Panama. And it sticks out in Latin America very, very clearly from the others. So that's really why I came, is because people here have a future, they're very positive, and they're much more stable and, well, much easier to get along with. That's quite a mouthful.
Yeah, well, yeah, and, you know, those are a lot of the same reasons that attracted me to Panama, too, is that it seemed there's such an optimistic attitude about the future, where in so many other places people are really worried about their future. I mean, you know, the virus has kind of put a damper on some things, and people are worried about if they've lost their job here in Panama, how they're going to get it back. But the economy is so strong in Panama, it won't take long for us to get back on our feet again. But those are all the same kind of reasons. The other thing I had visited, not lived in, I'd only lived in Germany and Puerto Rico in the United States, but even compared to those places, Panama seemed to just, it was less of a transition to moving. Not as much culture shock, because there were so many things that you're used to from North America that they already have it here. Some things they don't, and some things are not the same, but there were so many things that I needed in my life, or I wanted in my life, that were already here, so that made it an easy transition. And with you being in Panama City, you're surrounded by so many different amenities.
Yes, and when I first came, there weren't as many by a long shot. I came in 2004, so this is my 16th. I've been there 16 years. Started my 17th, and the immense growth, the economic growth, has been reflected in the amenities. I mean, what's available here? Just about everything under the sun is available, and that's quite unusual for Latin American cities.
Yeah. You can go to a movie theater and watch a movie in English if your Spanish isn't so good, or you can watch one in Spanish with English subtitles, and the grocery stores are going to have many of the things, especially in Panama City. A grocery store there is going to have many of the very same things that you're used to seeing in other grocery stores. So it's just an easy transition to move to Panama compared to some other countries where you're going to definitely feel like you're living in a very, very different place, and the things that you're used to having around you, they're just not available.
Yeah, I mean, that's very true. But I think most important is the stability here and the sense of security and the fact that we're a democracy, people do have their opinions and so forth, but we don't riot in the streets, we don't cause big trouble, we don't burn buses or what have you. So much mm-hmm. of the rest of the world is having some severe problems. And even at the low point here during the coronavirus, I mean, the worst we had to deal with was kids going out and breaking the curfew, you know, that sort of thing, which you expect. So it's a very stable place. I feel very safe here.
One of the things about the Panamanian economy that makes it unique compared to other countries is that it's very diversified. Some countries, like Venezuela and some of the other ones, the majority of their income relies on just one thing, like oil. But in Panama, yes, they do have the Panama Canal, but they also have the second largest free trade zone in the world. They have exports. They have a lot of large ship registry, corporation renewals, a lot of different things that they make money from.
Copper mines. Don't forget the copper mine. We constantly forget it, but it's one of the largest copper mines in the world.
Yeah, it absolutely is. So I'm sure that the strength of the economy here was something that played into your decision to move to Panama as well.
Sure. No, I mean, absolutely. I mean, there is a lot going on. It's very hard to describe to people because they usually only think in terms of the canal itself, and they don't realize what incredible growth has been the last couple decades. I mean, we're basically a logistics platform now. Our airport, which is hopefully going to be back to fully functioning here in the next month or two, the average Latin American city has connections with about 45 cities outside their own country. Mexico City, I think, was around 52 when I last counted. We're at 85 and expected to go over 90. We have this terrific, we're a real air hub now for North and South America, and as well as a water hub, so to speak, from the canal. It's and we've taken advantage of that, and the big expansion of the canal that's completed has just really changed things with the canal, making a lot more money there now, and it's opened up a lot of possibilities and of other businesses that have set up along the canal to take advantage of it. I mean, really, it's unfortunate that we had to go through the coronavirus, but we count our blessings in that at least we have this. And it will not be easy. There will be some pain involved, but we are nowhere near as bad shape as our neighbors or actually any other Latin American country, to be honest.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Costa Rica has severe financial problems. They're wonderful people and a great country, but their financial situation is a nightmare.
Right. So, did you look around in Panama before you decided on Panama City, or did you already know you were a city kind of a guy?
Well, I'm very active in the Internet, and I was at that time doing a lot more publishing, and I also was still in the finishing a business or closing it down up in the U.S., so all of that meant in here in the city. Since then, I'm tied in with the whole community, the business community here, and let's face it, this is where they are. They're definitely here in Panama City. Now that I'm 75, too, I have less interest in having to do a great deal of driving. So I was really happy to be here now, especially with we have now three of these ride-sharing services like Uber, and I don't need to worry. I can get around anywhere I want to. I don't have to worry about doing the driving myself. And frankly, I think I've gotten to an age and so forth where it's probably just as well. But if I need it, I can always rent a car and go charging off. So, I mean, the city provides me with certain benefits that I really appreciate and that work well into my lifestyle.
So what are some things, if there is anything, that you don't like about Panama or that make you unhappy about Panama?
Well, I have the same answer I've had all along. And the biggest problem Panama faces is that everybody here is a human being. That's, you know, the entire country is inhabited by humans. That is, in other words, we have problems as any human nation has, and so forth. So there's always something to complain about if you put your mind to it. And we have, you know, some people here who like to spend their time finding things to complain about. But the fact of the matter is that I don't find anywhere near enough to complain about. I would rather be here than in North America or Europe or in the East Asian Pacific Rim. These are the three so-called power centers of the planet. I know them all very well from travel and work. And I'm much happier here because I get the benefits of the connections and the excellent communications we have with, you know, Internet and so forth without having what I find to be very powerful anxiety. I guess, stress mm-hmm. that seems to be built into other societies at the moment. And my heart goes out to them, you know, and sometimes we forget and we sit here and we'll complain about something small, you know, we forget what people are having to put up with, and not just in Venezuela or Nicaragua, but all over the world. We're very fortunate. And it shows here in people's attitudes and the direction we're taking. It's one reason why we met this whole virus affair as one people. I mean, I was very impressed, all the political parties, all the unions, everybody got together at the very beginning. They put together the plan immediately. They went to work on it immediately. We were way ahead of everybody else. And we acted as one people. Now, as we're moving into the next phase where we're opening up again, we'll go back to regular politics. And already you can see that's necessary. Mm-hmm. There'll be critiques of this or that and disagreements about stuff. But when we were under real pressure, that's what happens with Panamanians. When they are under attack from outside, they join arms, shoulder to shoulder. They're not going to break up on political issues. They really do. They feel very strongly about their country, and they do defend it. So they did an excellent job, and they've been noted for that. But we're small, so we often get ignored. But we've done very well on that, I think.
Right. And for those of you that are not familiar with Panama Relocation Tours, if you're new with us reporting on things and just coming into it, you may not have heard some of the previous announcements that I've made about what was going on here in Panama with this virus. So we went into, first of all, the president and the minister of health have been excellent at communicating daily, sometimes twice a day, with the people in Panama to let them know what was going on, what was planned, what they were planning to do, how they were going to solve the problem. So the communication from the government has been excellent throughout this, and they would do that on Facebook, on Twitter, daily press releases, daily news announcements. So that's happened. We did go into a very, very strict quarantine here. Originally, it was just a curfew, and then it was a tighter curfew, and then it went into a situation where you could only go out 2 hours three times a week. Women could go out on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Men could go out on Tuesday, Thursday, and sometimes Saturday. There was never a situation where men and women could go out at the same time. So if there was a husband and wife living in a house together, the wife could only go out on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Husband could only go out on the other days, but they couldn't go out together. So we've been under very strict quarantine for about 2 months. They also banned all alcohol sales. And honestly, people seem to be more upset about the no alcohol sales than the two-hour quarantine. So I guess it was about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, they partially lifted the alcohol ban to allow you that whenever it is your two-hour time frame to go out, you could either buy a bottle of wine, or you could get a six-pack of beer, or you could get some stronger alcoholic beverage like a rum or a vodka. Not one of each, but you could just get one of those things. Now, some people I know, they would get it in one store, take it home, then they'd run to another store and get some stuff and take it home, and they would stock up. But starting on Monday, on June the 1st, they've lifted that quarantine. Starting on Monday, we're going to be able to go out anytime between 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. So there's only going to be a curfew between 7 p.m. and 5 a.m. that we have to stay home. But the rest of the time, anybody, regardless of gender, can go outside between 5 a.m. and 7 p.m. So that starts on Monday. Also, Panama set up a reopening schedule or a reopening plan that certain businesses would, and certain things like parks and different things could open up during different blocks. They reopened up block one about 2 weeks ago, and block two is going to open up on Monday, which includes some construction work, some mining work. Some of the national parks are going to open up. So little by little, they're starting to do a reopening with a plan that by the end of July, hopefully everything will be open up again. We'll see. But they're very cautious. They're being very careful. They're well stocked and tests to do and ventilators. And they built a new hospital Over by Albrook Mall, they built a new hospital in less than 30 days, just in case we got inundated with cases or there's some kind of a second wave that causes a lot of cases. So Panama's right on top of the situation as far as this pandemic goes. Some of the people that live here, especially foreigners that are living here, this quarantine that they've done in Panama was just too much for them. They thought that their freedoms and their rights were being violated by the government telling them that they couldn't leave their house for more than 2 hours, three times a week. So some people, they just couldn't handle it. For me, I enjoyed it. But that's, you know, everybody's different. So they have had some flights leaving Panama to take people back to the United States and some flights to Europe to get people that wanted to get back home, wanted to get to their family, or wanted to get away from this quarantine. The embassies for each one of the different countries has arranged for those repatriation flights.
I mean, we got to keep in proportion, too, that there are at least 45,000 Americans in this country. Maybe we're talking about 200 or 300 who went back. So
right.
Those were not huge flights that took thousands of people back at all.
No, there weren't very many flights. But, you know, Facebook, if you follow Facebook, you know, you could hear the people that were super angry about it. And those are the ones that probably went back. And as far as I'm concerned, that's good, because we don't need people that are complaining here. We want people that appreciate Panama for what it is and that know that Panama is doing everything that they can to minimize the number of deaths in this country and try to control the spread of the virus. So some of us appreciate what they're doing and some people didn't. But that's life anywhere. That could be said anywhere that you are in the world, and it's going to happen everywhere. So, Bob, earlier you were talking about the Internet, that, you know, you use the Internet a lot. You're still involved in some business activities. What's the Internet like there in Panama City?
Oh, I mean, it's fine. I mean, if you can get a gigabyte down if you want to without any difficulty. I have a standard, I think, a 300 meg down and 15 or 20 up or whatever, for people who follow that sort of thing. It's very good. It's very secure. And they've actually, the government increased it across the board to all the services, opened up a special bandwidth to them so that they could handle the increased traffic during the course of this quarantine situation. And that's worked out very well, too. So, yeah, I mean, we have no problem from that perspective. We have one of the major trunk lines of the Internet runs right across the country in a canal. So we have instant access, you might say, to that. And this is a major reason why we have so many hundred companies who have set up offices here to work, because communication is very, very solid and very dependable. Now, and when it first got started, we have so much growth here that sometimes things would go out. It hasn't happened to me in a long time. So, yeah, we've got excellent communications at all levels.
Does your electricity go out once in a while there in Panama City?
A long time ago it did, but not now. The one time there are some of these little transmission boxes or whatever that occasionally explode and make a big noise.
Mm-hmm.
But that typically is taken care of in 20 or 30 minutes. Somebody comes running around and takes care of it. But that's maybe once every 3 months. Some parts of the town have had, I don't know, you know, it's odd. Some people, I think it happens once and they think about it for the next 6 weeks, you know. It's
yeah.
Not that big a problem. No, it's not at all that big a problem. I mean, it's not. I've had much worse problems elsewhere in the world. Here, if I lose my electricity once every couple months, it's for a half an hour or so. That nowadays, that is, that's considered a lot. Doesn't bother me.
So what about health care in the Panama City area? Have you had any experience with going to a doctor or the hospital? What do you feel about the quality of the health care there?
Well, the quality is excellent. I mean, no question about it. Yes, I have made use of the facilities here. I wouldn't necessarily go to the Johns Hopkins affiliate because, although it's an excellent hospital, they have wonderful equipment and everything else, they're not the only really good hospital here. They do charge more money because they're Johns Hopkins. There are at least three others there that are very fine. And most physicians here will have offices or connections with each of the main hospitals. So I can have the same physician but I just maybe save 20% if I'm off at one of the other national hospital, for example. It's a privately owned one. I think the world of. They do a very fine job there, and it's a lot cheaper. So, I've had no problem with quality. I'm very impressed by the quality of the health care.
So, Bob, are you fluent in Spanish? Have you found it to be a problem with not knowing Spanish?
No, I'm not fluent in Spanish. I do it better all the time, and I do maintain a number of conversations now. But quite honestly, the bulk of the people I work with, because I deal in the business community and sometimes the government community, are all English-speaking as well as Spanish-speaking. And they will use English in gatherings quite a bit. It's just sort of understood. And particularly since we have an international crowd, we have people in from Europe, we have people in from Asia, there are circumstances under which English is actually the language that is used because it's more international. So I would never make a formal presentation in Spanish because my Spanish is nowhere near good enough to do that. And I have a more conversational style. But the simple fact of the matter is this. If you try, if you make an effort, even if you only have a small amount of a few words, a few sentences that you've learned, because some people I know have real difficulty in learning languages, I'm very sympathetic to that. That's going to please people here very much. To make the effort and to smile, the most important word is smile. You don't have to say it, you have to do it. In conversation, you do your best to explain, and then through body language, and they have English too, and with a little English, you can get anything done. I've never had any problem. And today, you can carry a Google Translate app on your smartphone, and you can just talk into it. It'll turn it into Spanish, and it will actually speak to the person you're talking to if it gets to that point. So we're rapidly reaching a point where that isn't as significant. I certainly would not let it stop me from coming here at all. And I don't think that way. And let's put it this way. Spanish speakers here have been used to English speakers for well over 100 years. So they know the situation. They may not speak it fluently, and they may be embarrassed to use it sometimes, just as you are to use Spanish if you don't speak it all that well. But the truth is they understand a great deal. And I always tell people, if you're going to say something unpleasant and insulting, try not doing that in public, because almost everybody's going to understand you when you think they can't.
You know, one time, the last time I went to Panama, I was on had an Uber driver that was taking me to the hotel, and I was trying to have a conversation with him in my very best Spanish, and but he wanted to talk to me in English. He wanted to practice his English, and I was wanting to practice my Spanish, but he was struggling to say something to me, and I just couldn't get it. He could tell that I didn't understand what he was saying, and he said, "Let me get my secretary." And he got out his phone and got Google Translate and talked into Google Translate, and then that translated it into English for me. But he called Google Translate his secretary.
Well, no, it does. It actually does a great job. I forget I have it on my phone sometimes. But, it's there if I come across a word I need to have and I can't, pluck it out of my mind. So it's not – if you just sort of relax a little bit, you pick up a little in talking to people. And if you sit in some of – they have informal classes here. A lot of expats get together and practice their Spanish. There's no cost involved. They're just working together on it. Others have inexpensive lessons and so on. So that's wonderful. And some people really get into that and can be fluent. Others, a lot of us just are okay. But some have a great deal of difficulty. And the key now is that 10, 20 years ago, you could be very isolated. Today, you have an app on your smartphone, and you're not isolated any longer. You can deal with situations, and you get used to it. You get really good at it.
Right. So you mentioned that you have meetings with different business owners and government entities and places like that. Tell us a little bit about what kind of things that you do there in Panama.
Well, I have a special emphasis in trying to open a portion of the country that has not yet been opened in the east of the city here. And so that's a constant uphill struggle because it's a very conservative country in terms of real estate, and they focus a great deal of their effort on the coast to the west of the city. And overly much. Everything's too expensive. It's too congested and so forth and what have you. There's a lot of I could go on for half an hour about the real estate situation in Panama. But I work on doing that. And I also try to involve people in it. I'm trying to get through to as much of now that we have a real estate, a buyer's market, if there ever was one, this is the best buyer's market. In 16 years, there's never anything been like it. If you're going to buy or rent, either one, there's no better time. It's just exactly the way it is. There are so many people here who have been unable to sell or to rent their places out because of the lockdown. And then, of course, there's already been was a slowdown going on in real estate pricing. The whole sum total of it is that we've got a terrific buyer's market here, or renter's market, if you prefer, either way. And I hope people who are really interested in living here take advantage of it over this year, because it's dramatic. And I'm trying to get them. Meantime, in the background right now, I'm working with people here to try to open people up to different types of new types of development, new types of things to offer people coming from outside the country. It's hard for them. They can't afford the market research in Europe and in North America they'd like to do. So I can help them with that. So that's what I'm working on, trying to get a little better selection for people at a reasonable price down here. But right at the moment, pricing, I mean, gosh, I help people when I can. They don't pay me anything. We just have a service down here we call Metro Match, and somebody's looking for a place in the city or in the immediate urban area. We don't go out into the countryside, but in the metropolitan area, if they're looking for a place to rent or buy and they don't have an agent, there are tons of them here, but if they don't, I can send them to one and they can come to me if they have a problem. In other words, some people feel more comfortable doing that. And I use just one of two or three, again, folks that I've used in the past. And I just think very well of them, as I do of you. You know, you're the only tour I've ever endorsed in this country. And for good reason, I think. You do a fine job of it. And so that's what I try to do, to be helpful with people coming down. But with the community as a whole, the business community, I'm trying to get them out of doing it the old-fashioned way and start looking at some new approaches.
Well, the other thing I know that you're actively involved is your YouTube channel, which has really taken off. If you go to YouTube.com and put in Bob Adams, about once a week now you're doing a new video?
Well, it works out to about that, maybe more like 10, 12 days. It depends on what there is to do. And I only do it when I have something I feel it's worth sharing, but I do it as regularly as possible. So it is coming out more commonly. It isn't promoted. I don't promote the website or the YouTube channel. I don't spend any money on it because I don't make any money. I don't sell anything. And so no one sends me any money. As a result, I have to also do my business. So I can't do it like three times a week. I have no problem with businesses as a commercial. They do excellent work like yours. But in my case, it's strictly non-commercial. It's non-profit. So I do as much as I can fit into the time. I'm trying to be, especially with the YouTube videos, because that has drawn quite a bit of attention. But basically, people refer other people to it. As I say, I don't advertise it, so I didn't realize I was going to have that many show up. But there they are. So I do my best to help.
Yeah, one of the things I tell people often whenever I mention your name is that you seem to really keep a pulse of what's going on here in Panama as far as the economy, the demographics, which way the wind's going to blow politically and everything else. And then Bob reports about those things on his YouTube channel. So I would encourage all of you to go to YouTube and seek out Bob's YouTube channel and subscribe to it. So you'll get a notice every time he uploads another video, and they're always very, very informative. So be sure and check that out.
Oh, thank you. That's very kind.
And then what about the Metro Match? Is there a website for that, Bob?
That's at retirementwave.com. If you go there, okay, You'll see a page devoted to that, and I talk about it somewhere. I've got to do some more work on it. But yeah. It's explained right there at the website.
So at retirementwave.com, that's how I found out about Bob, was from that website. You can subscribe to that website, become a member. It doesn't cost anything. Then that gives you access to a lot of articles that Bob has written in the past and reports that he writes about the economy and the demographics here with lots of graphs. It must take you many, many, many hours to do each one of those reports, and I certainly appreciate every single one of them.
Well, they are very time-consuming, and there's not going to be in one for a little while now because we've got to see what happens and get through to the next stage. I mean, I'm very positive about things, but every nation is going to be going through some transition periods here over the next few weeks, and we're one of them. And the more I can see what's happening in the direction, the better it is, more likely I am to be able to offer something useful in a report. But, yeah, I put a lot of effort into those. And there's even the ones that are up now at the site, they may not be up to date, and they don't include this particular period with the virus, but it still gives you the fundamentals of Panama, and those will return. Those are not forgotten. We haven't lost our fundamentals yet. We just have to get back to them.
Right. It's just going to take a little bit of time. So, Bob, yeah. Are you from Maryland or New York? I know it was somewhere in that area. I think your office used to be in Maryland, right?
Yeah, I was in Bethesda, Maryland. I both lived there and had an office there. But, I mean, I'm from a little town of Whitney Point. It's a little tiny town of 883 people when I was there up in upstate New York, up north mm-hmm. toward Ithaca, New York, Cornell, and places like that, if anyone's been there. But, yeah, I was a rural boy, born and raised, and I've lived in so many countries now. I have two homes, basically. That's one of them, and the other one is where I'm sitting right now. So this is home for me here, for sure.
Do you travel back to the United States very often?
No, I don't at all, unless I absolutely have to. But I have people come down. I keep telling them, look, you come down and visit me in the wintertime, and you're going to be a lot happier. I have no particular need to go back up. We stay in regular touch here. My family's scattered all over the planet Earth, and so we keep in touch through the Internet. And they're mm-hmm. talking about a whole batch of them coming down this December, which is very interesting. It should make for a very exciting Christmas period, and I hope they can. I hope that works out.
But I hope it works out.
I don't miss I can get enough of the U.S. in the news, so to speak. I really don't. I mean, I can go to McDonald's down here.
Yeah, or Starbucks, but right. Yeah, I'm the same way. I much prefer to stay right here in Panama. If I'm going to travel, I want to go someplace else. I've already seen a lot of things in the United States, and really don't want to go back. I want to stay here in Panama.
Sure, absolutely. Well, this Panama has become home to a lot of people that aren't American. I often mention to people my website is not an American site. It's not an American YouTube channel. I have an ever-growing number of Europeans who are part of it, and people from all over, including Latin America. So that's why I don't look at things from the American perspective alone. There's one perspective out there. There are many others as well, and it's good to see them come together. And people get along. I find they get along very well when they get here if they put their minds to it. If you're a happy kind of person, you're in good shape. You're going to get along fine. If you're, the kind that must be in charge, direct people, and they must do what you tell them to do, what have you, that sort of approach to life, you're going to have difficulty here. But I tell people, this is, Jackie, the one basic rule for operating successfully here or for, as far as I'm concerned, anywhere, and to anybody from wherever you come from, whatever nation, very simply put, is there's one rule that always is a good one. No matter how trite and how many times you've heard about it, it's still important, and it's the golden rule. You do unto others what you want them to do unto you. And I say, if you want to be a good resident of another nation and take advantage of what they offer you and everything that you've got and the ability to come down, and Panama does a good job of that, then you need to respond in a way that would suit you if it was a foreigner coming to live in your nation. And so whatever you demand from the foreigners coming into your nation, you should demand of yourself when you go to live in theirs. And the less you demand, then the easier it is. So I say, look at it that way. Think of yourself, what would I tell a foreigner in my country? And my attitude is, if they didn't speak English, it's fine. I don't care. That's your business. But some people get very upset. So I say, stop and think that through. And my experience, the best approach is to treat people the way you want them to treat you, and things work out pretty well.
Yeah, and one of the things you'll hear over and over again from people that have been to Panama just for a visit or people that live here is just how nice the Panamanians are. They want, you know, if you're in the grocery store and they see that you have a troubled look on your face, just a total stranger will come up and say, "Can I help you?" And so if you're struggling to speak Spanish and get your point across, a total stranger will come up and help you. But all of my neighbors around where I live here, they're just so nice. And that's one of the other really big pluses about living in Panama, is that the people are so nice and they're accepting to foreigners, because like Bob said, foreigners have been coming here for 100 years. So they're used to it. It's not something unusual for them.
I think also what helps here a great deal is that this is still a family-centered society in a small nation. So families, which can mean your third cousin, I mean, you know who's in your family. They can be very large families spread across the country. You see them regularly. People always are seeing family people. They take a 3 or 4 day weekend and everybody leaves town to go out and see them. The result is that there's a lot of connection. You've never had a civil war here. The simple reason is that it's too close, you know. Everybody knows everybody. We listen to the same radio stations, and we listen to the same TV stations, read the same newspapers, and we travel back and forth. And for a few bucks, you can travel from one end of the country to the other on an air-conditioned bus. I mean, really, everybody's been to Panama City. Pretty much everybody has been here. It's probably multiple times in their lives, and they know the situation. It's not like a much larger country or a country where family ties are not strong, where people end up being highly isolated and they feel alienated from the rest of the country, and they feel like they're strangers in their own country when they travel to the capital. I've seen that many times. But here, not at all. We're too small and we're too tightly tied together. And it means also that we cross class barriers more frequently, too, that upper-class people here recognize the middle-class and working-class people in their families. I've seen that actually occur before my eyes when two people with the same family name, one of them a very well-to-do person, the other one a very modest person, and they started talking about whose uncle and whose aunt and so forth, what have you, and discovered they were related, and they became very friendly. I mean, he invited her out to lunch, so they had he was a much older man, but I mean, they made a family connection that was fine. And she was just starting out as a real estate agent, and he sent her business. So this sort of sense of community and family and of being in a relatively small country where you know everybody else, so to speak, is very powerful, and it brings us a lot of unity when we need it.
The other thing that I've noticed about all the Panamanians that I've met is that they love their country. They're very patriotic. They love their country. But people that live in the city, they love to go out and have a weekend at the beach. Or they'll get on a bus and come up to Boquete, where I live, and spend some time in the mountains. People that live in the mountains will go to the beach or go to the city. So they don't just stay put where they live. A lot of people, regardless of what their income level is, they'll get on one of those little buses. Well, it's actually a big bus, and they'll go across country to just see some other part of the country. You can do it in a day. So even just in an hour, you can completely change the way your weather, and you can change the scenery all around you. And Panamanians and expatriates, too, take full advantage of that in this beautiful country of Panama.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question about that. And they do. Everybody leaves town to go out to the countryside to visit relatives there because they love to see the country. But the country people come into the city for other celebrations that they have here. So there's a lot of that going back and forth. And you don't want to be on the road at rush hour on Friday on a 4 day or 3 day weekend. it's going to take you a while to get out of town. But it is true. It's very true. And I think it's a force for holding people together. And we've never had a civil war. You look at countries in Latin America, and you look at them now, and, you know, Chile was a wonderful country. I have great Chilean friends. And how shocked people were when they suddenly exploded some months ago. And there was a rioting that went on over cost of living and what have you. And 24 people were killed, and over $2 billion worth of damage was done. This is some months ago. And I was just reading, a couple of days ago, they're still in the midst of the trouble. Now it's the virus situation that's feeding into it. It's the thing about, bothers me sometimes is people who, if you read about Latin America in general right now through this period, you find Brazil, Mexico, Bolivia, Venezuela, you have a lot of problems out there. And you begin to think all of Latin America is that way. And it's, Panama just sort of sits here by itself, so to speak, and it operates on its own, and it's not dependent on these other nations, and we get along fine with them. We have no arguments going with anybody. But we are not at all like, say, Nicaragua, at all, not even remotely so, and we know it. Panamanians know this. They're very, one reason they're so patriotic is they built this thing in their own, and people said, you're too small, you're too unimportant, and when the Americans leave, it won't work anymore, and blah, blah, blah. And it's not true. They made it work, and it's worked really marvelously well. So they are. They're very patriotic, and they have good reason to be patriotic. And that's, but for people coming in from outside, this is important to understand how patriotic they are about their own country. But they're still very totally open to people from other countries, as long as they're friendly and respectful. Then that's fine. There's no anti-foreigner sentiment here. There's certainly no anti-American sentiment I've ever run into. But the only people, you earn your own reputation, not by your nationality, not by the color of your passport, but by how you treat people, how you deal with them on a day-to-day basis.
Lisa, absolutely right. Yep, absolutely right. So, Bob, in a little bit, I'm going to open up the call for questions from our audience. But before I do that, do you have any advice for people that are thinking about coming to check out Panama or relocate to Panama?
Oh, okay. The one thing I always say to everybody is I don't care whether you come here or not, because I have no interest in it, no involvement with it. What I'm interested in is that you go where you need to go, where it's going to be best for you. And if that's somewhere else than Panama, that's fine and more power to you. But if it is Panama, then by all means, come. And I think if I were you, this is a good year. Because if you're going to stay here for any period of time, you're going to be either buying a house or renting an apartment or a house or something. And if you're going to do that, you might as well get what are probably not going to be prices this low again for a while. Now, it's not going to disappear overnight, for sure. We have quite an inventory to go through. But still, the moment people think are looking up, people are going to start raising prices. But that is not here yet. And so I think 2020 is a good year to come down and take a serious look if this is where you want to be and see what you have available, because you're getting a very progressive country that has managed to do a lot of things and grow a great deal and has a good economy and you know, a nice, stable political situation and so forth at a cut rate. And you're not going to find that anywhere else in Latin America, quite the package that we have right here in Panama. So, yeah, come on down. If this interests you, if for some reason you don't think it's going to work for you, by all means, I mean, God bless you, and wherever you go, I'm sure you'll be fine.
Wow. Yeah, good advice. Very good advice. So I'm going to go with our first caller. Are you ready?
Sure.
Okay. So I have James. I believe it's area code 405. Go ahead.
Hi, this is James. I actually had a question about hobbies. I was very interested in possibly meeting people, you know, becoming friends with people that are into like kite surfing or spear fishing whenever I move there. I want to live in the Boquete area for the comfort, but I still want to be able to, you know, go down to the water and have fun, maybe catch some fish and that kind of stuff. How do you meet people like that? And become friends with people like that.
You go there. You just get in your vehicle or your bus or whatever. You go down there and you wander around to the marinas. You go into the restaurants and the hotels in that area. If there's an active life like you're talking about there, which is very common in some parts of, and not everywhere, but in some parts of the along the coast, then you're not going to have any trouble finding these people, and they'll find you. It's an active community of people who are into boats or into one thing or another on the water, and they're very international. And so I wouldn't worry too much about that. The only your challenge is you're living so far away from it, so to speak. You will have quite a trip to get down there, but otherwise you're not going to have any trouble finding people.
Right. Another concern being I'm being a military man, standing tall, you know, chin up, all that kind of stuff. How do people feel you approaching them? Are they ever intimidated by somebody standing so tall? Is that okay, normal in the culture to just approach people and say, "Hey, how's it going? Can I, you know, blah blah blah, buy you beer, have a good time, blah blah blah"?
Yeah, sure. I mean, you can basically treat them as you would anybody else. I mean, the key point is the one thing I hear complaints about from Panamanian friends here who work in general business, the public in general, is there's this group of Americans who look angry. They look not just Americans, but other nationalities. They look very angry, and I know what's happening here.
That's what I worry.
They're tense. They're worried about whether their Spanish is going to work. For a whole set of reasons, they're uncomfortable, and they show it in their face, and they don't even know it sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I say a smile is important. If you smile first and then say hi, or if you smile when you're saying it, I mean, really, that's the critical thing. They're going to look at your face, and they're going to see either this person is angry with me or this person is being friendly. And you can be 8 feet tall. It's not going to make any difference. We have big people here, too.
Good idea. I naturally have a smile. I just have the uptight stature, just a big old smile on my face approaching people. So as long as they're happy with that, then that'll work out fine with me.
They're happy with that.
Yeah, don't worry.
Yeah, the other things I wanted to add, James, if you just get on some of the on Facebook, on some of the expats in Panama group and say, "Hey, I'd love to go kite surfing. Where's the best place to go?" And you're going to have somebody say, "Oh, go here or go there. There's a group of us going to this place, and why don't you join us?" And so if you get on Facebook on some of the expats in Panama groups, and that's where you'll find them. Some of the best kite surfing, by the way, is in Chame. But Chame is about a 6-hour drive from Boquete, so you might want to make it a 3-day weekend trip.
Okay, yeah, right.
Basically, for what you're looking for in that kind of sport, most of it is not where you're planning to live.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I mean, this is a choice you make, and so I understand.
Right. And that was the other thing. Is it normal to say, "Hey, you know, can I look you up on Facebook? Hey, you know, can I add you on WhatsApp or whatever to, you know, stay in contact with people?" Is that normal, or is that kind of going too far?
No, usually what you'll do is, like, if you're on Facebook and you say, "Hey, I'd like to do some kite surfing, and can you send me a PM with your information if you'd like to go too?" So people will send a private message. They're not going to put their phone number or their email on Facebook usually. But
I mean, like, out in person. I mean, like, if you're out in person walking by and say, "Hey, you know, it was nice meeting you. Could I add you on WhatsApp?" That's what I mean. Is that going too far, or is that like, "No, you know, I'll run past you again"?
It would depend on the interaction that you'd had. If you just first met them, it might be a little bit too soon, but maybe, you know, if you really clicked on a lot of things, then they'll probably be the first one to ask for your contact information. And speaking of that, you may want to have some little business cards made once you get here that has your email and your phone number on it.
That's a good idea, actually.
Say, here's my card, and then they can just easily add it to their phone later on instead of exchanging it right there on the phone. But a lot of people have a little business card that they hand out.
Yeah, I think there's this car with kite surfing on it or something like that. I mean, you're going to be talking to people who are into water sports.
Right,
you want them
right.
to remember you in relationship to certain water sports.
Right.
So
I know my...
Think of it as a calling card instead
right.
of a business card.
Exactly. I actually quite often did something similar to that for my own other kind of hobbies when it came to, like, Twitch and YouTube. But another one, is art very prevalent in Boquete? Like, my wife is very big in wanting to get into art, maybe art classes. And
Yes.
It is very prevalent. Sweet. Awesome. All righty. Well, thank y'all so much.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good one and stay safe.
Mm-hmm. Next caller is area code 415. I believe it's Paul. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi.
I was wondering, Bob, have you ever had any experience with investment in gold, like gold coins in Panama, retirees who bring in gold to be stored in Panama? Do you ever get involved with that?
Well, I don't myself, and I mean, It's been a while since anybody's asked, Paul, I'll tell you the truth. And I know there have been a couple places around here who have worked with that. Jackie may have heard more recently about their activity. I haven't heard anything from any of them, actually, for a couple years. Gold is not a big thing here from an investment perspective. They have it. They may be more into the stocks or you know, into various funds and what have you, as opposed to actually the physical material. Because it's, you know, the premiums can be very high, and you have to worry about protecting it and so forth and so on. So I really can't tell you. All I can say is you get here, there are at least a couple places that say, I think, that they deal with it. Sorry, I can't be more specific about it, but it has not been a major interest in people coming down, to tell you the honest truth. At least they haven't talked about it. They haven't talked about it.
It's kind of the secret society. Yeah, it's there. And there's also some private vaults available in various areas throughout the country, because depending on how much you have, you may not want to keep it at your home.
Yeah, I mean, okay. I think you, Jackie, knows more about it than I do in this case, for sure.
Next caller, it doesn't show me a name, but I've unmuted your line. Just says anonymous. Go ahead.
Hi, it's Gene from Chicago. Two quick, very specific questions. Medicare here doesn't cover eyeglasses or dental work. First of all, the quality of dental work in Panama, and is that covered as a pensionado? Second question is there any symphony orchestra in Panama City?
Well, to begin with, Medicare does not pay for anything here in Panama.
No, I understand.
Okay, fine. And I mean, the dental work down here, everyone tells me, is considerably less. It is, from my own experience, than it is up north. You can, and basically speaking, if you're a pensionado, you get your 20% discount, 15% discount, different discounts and things. It's considerably less than it is in the U.S. But it depends on exactly what you're going to need. But we certainly have dentists, plenty of them, and they are not as expensive, thank God. They're still, as far as I'm concerned, they're expensive. But I've lived here 16 years, and I have a different attitude towards expensive now. I look at some of the prices people pay in the U.S.
In the States, they want $30,000 for a set of dental implants.
Well, you see, I have no idea how much that would cost here, but it wouldn't cost $3,000. I doubt very seriously. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh. I mean, it's a serious problem, but I mean, good Lord, I mean, that just, I don't know. You'd have to talk to them, and I can't really quote you on that either. But definitely they're less expensive. Everybody who's used dentists down here, say, from the U.S., say it's much cheaper to use them here, for sure. People can actually fly down and get their dental work here and fly home if they're serious work, and they save money. And they, despite having to have a hotel and meals and what have you, and an airplane ticket. But that's for serious work. In your situation, that might be the case, but I just can't. You'd have to come down here and talk to a dentist and get a really good idea. He'd have to see you and to give you a good idea in turn of what he would be able to do. Now, is the National Symphony? Yes, of course we do. We bet. We have a National Ballet. We have a number of these activities that are down here. You're welcome to join. The National Theater is a gorgeous place. It's done the old Spanish style with the balconies and everything in red and gold and red all over the place. And quite the fancy establishment. So, yes, we definitely do have an arts sector here that's quite active.
Great. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Next caller, area code 612. Go ahead.
Hi, Jackie. This is Rose. My trip was canceled, I learned, just this week. And one of the things that I was looking forward to was having a night splint made, and I wanted to, I also will need some extensive dental work, so I was hoping to kind of, if possible, get some information for you as to who you might recommend, because I would like to hit the ground running when I do get there on my trip, which is now going to be July next year. But I would like to be able to, as soon as possible, get in to see somebody that would be trustworthy, who would be, expert at doing a splint and also doing crowns and possibly root canals.
So we have something new because our tours are sold out so far in advance. And, you know, we just can't accommodate all the people that want to come on a tour. We can't get all the dates that we need. So we started offering something new called the Online Panama Relocation Guide. And it's basically all the same information that you would get on the tour, including doctor recommendations, dentist recommendations, immigration attorney recommendations, where to buy health insurance, how to get your pet into the country, how to find a rental, all the things that you need to know. But our recommendations for doctors and dentists is in that online guide. So if you go to Panama Relocation Tours and you click on the very top where it says online guide, that'll give you more information about it right there.
So are you talking about that $500 package?
Right. Uh-huh, that's it. Okay. And then if you take the package and you take a tour later, we give you a discount on the tour.
Oh, I see. Okay. Well, that would be worth it then. I thought I'm in a particular I'm in Minneapolis. You're just outside of Minneapolis, and I don't know if you've been hearing about this in Panama, but we've had quite a lot.
We have.
Yeah.
Everything you need to know to relocate here, including all the doctor attorney recommendations and everything, is all within that guide. So you could even use the guide and not come on the tour. You'd have everything you need to know. But if you decided you wanted to come on the tour later, then you would get a discount on coming on the tour later. But for you to get that information as soon as possible, start making those connections with dentists and everything, it's right in there for you.
I've got it. Okay, well, that would be reasonable. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Thanks for calling. Next caller is area code 610. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. My name is Joyce, and I'm from Pennsylvania. I'd like to know why Bob chose the particular area in Panama City that he lives in, and what is that area? Thank you.
I did live in Punta Paitia, then I went to Obarrio, and now I'm in San Francisco. Now, I tell you right off the bat, there's a lot of neighborhoods here. I keep saying I'm going to do this at the channel, and I will do it. I will have to force myself to do it, to go through the neighborhoods. We have lots of neighborhoods. We have it's pretty complex. We have a great number of them. The simple fact of the matter is there's so many good neighborhoods you can live in the city that it's silly. It's just another amazing. People are used to an image of a big, dirty city with only small areas where expats live and all this business, which may have been true 40 years ago. That's not the case at all here. So San Francisco is a great place, but that's San Francisco. And then there's Marbella, Marbella, that has a whole bunch. Then what you would probably call Bella Vista or Bella Vista in Spanish. That is a big area. That has a lot in. There's so many. There are many neighborhoods. And San Francisco, I like it. But San Francisco, part of it is overlooking the bay. I have a beautiful view of the bay and the Pacific Ocean. But another section of it is up by what's called Parque Omar. It's sort of like our Central Park. It's a huge park. It's got all sorts of activities going on at it. It's got rolling hills. It's got people running around, you know, and all sorts of, it's a skating rink and all sorts of stuff like that. So it's big, so that's a long distance from the water. So you really need to get, once you get here, you're not going to have any trouble finding a neighborhood that is safe and reasonable and nice place to live. That's the least of your concerns. But your concern will be precisely what it is you want and how many bedrooms, how many bathrooms, how much you want to pay, whether you need to be near certain types of facilities or not. These are all these questions that I work with them all the time when people come here to the city. So I'm very familiar with them. And it's, once you're here in 48 hours, you suddenly have a completely different view on things. You will be surprised how quickly it happens. But if I were to tell you San Francisco is the neighborhood, and as people would like me to do, that's just one of 15, probably 20 that I could recommend. It depends on what you're really looking for, and I can, you know, we can help you when you're headed this way. Always happy to give advice. If you get on the YouTube channel, I will eventually break down here, because it's going to be a long one, and go out there and start describing the different neighborhoods. But people are probably going to be disappointed to know that there are not huge differences among them. But in any event, that will come.
Thank you very much.
I wish I could do more.
Thank you.
Right?
Okay, next caller is, I believe, Mary Ann. Go right ahead.
Oh, hi, Jackie. I'm in Phoenix. I just want to thank both you and Bob. The call's been great. I had a quick question. I'm signed up for a tour at the end of July, and I was wondering, is it a 30-day? Like, would it, if for instance, the planes, you know, or the tour couldn't go July 24th, I think it is, would I have a 30-day notice?
So this is what we're doing. Because of the pandemic, our regular refund policy and everything has completely changed. So what we're doing, if for some reason we need to cancel that tour, we'll let you know 40 days in advance. And then you'll have the option of either getting a refund or you can switch to a different tour date when we have availability. But it, let's say that you get to, let's say we're going to do the tour. That, you know, Panama's open, we're ready, we're going to do the tour, but something comes up on your end 5 days before and your flight gets canceled or you get sick or, you know, you just don't feel comfortable traveling, you're coughing, you have a fever, whatever, you know, just you just let us know that you can't come and you'll either get a refund or you will move to a different tour. Because we don't want you coming down here if you're not feeling well, and we don't want you, you know, if the pandemic situation where you are or where we are changes, and it can change in just a couple days. We just don't know what's going to happen. So we're being very fluid, very flexible with refunds at this time.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you answered my second question, because my passport renewal is lost in cyberspace. You know, it's on hold in that pile of slush that they have that they're trying to work their way through. So I'm hoping I get it in time, but I've, you know, that's been since March. So we'll
if it doesn't, just send us an email and let us know, and we'll move you to a different tour date. If you look on our website, it says sold out, sold out, sold out, and a lot of our tours are sold out. And even though some people have canceled on some of those tours, we're not filling those spots because we already anticipate that we will be required to have much fewer people on the bus for social distancing rules. So, but we don't know what those rules are going to be yet, but we're anticipating it'll be about 50% capacity of what the bus can do. But we don't know. So we're not filling those spots until we know exactly what the rules are. So we may be able to get you still on a tour in 2020. We just don't know what the rules are going to be yet to make any kind of an announcement about it. But if you don't get your passport or your flight gets canceled or you're just not feeling well, we don't even need a doctor's notice. You just let us know and no problem. We'll refund your money or we'll move you to a different tour.
Oh, that's great. Thank you. And you know, you have no idea either with the hotels, because they may only be accepting a certain capacity of people. And so I'm sure it's all going to be fluid, like you say. So
everything is very up in the air right now. We don't even know the exact date that hotels are going to open. A lot of restaurants are closed that we use. So there's too many. We're just in a very we don't know situation right now.
That's great. Go ahead, huh?
We're ready and we're anxious to do tours again once it's safe for everybody and everything's opened up. But we're certainly not going to do tours in a situation where the majority of the hotels are closed or the restaurants, we can't eat inside, it's got to be takeout only like it is right now. We're not going to do tours until things are more opened up.
Okay. And last question, what is a tour discount? What is the discount off the tour if I buy the packet now and want to start reading about it now?
So if you get the package now, you get $200 off on a future tour.
Okay, great. Okay, thank you so much, and thanks again, Bob. It was great information.
I'm glad to be here.
Thank you. So let me see just a second. So it's already 6 o'clock. Time flies when you're having fun, doesn't it, Bob?
Yeah, well, I'm fine. Yeah, sure, not a problem.
So, Bob, I want to thank you so much for being on the conference call and sharing all this great information with us. You're just a wealth of information about Panama, and I really encourage everybody to go to YouTube and search for Bob Adams, and you'll see his videos on there. Subscribe to it so you can get a notice every time he uploads a new one. Also, make sure you go to his website, retirementwave.com. Even the articles that he wrote five, six, seven, 8 years ago are very, very informative, and they show a good picture of, you know, why the demographics in Panama is so different from the demographics in other countries and why it makes it such a great place to live. He explains in some of the articles that he wrote. So I encourage you to go to his website, retirementwave.com, and subscribe there also. Thank you, everybody that called in for today's call. And thank you, Bob, once again for being on the call.
Delighted. Thank you.
Yep. Have a good evening, everybody. I'll talk to you next Saturday.